This week on The Droids, will we finish our discussion of the Duel of the Fates? Find out before this episode is over. Is part six the last? We don't know. Sam will find out as well. Also, we're going to talk about the news about Leslie Headland going to be heading up her own Star Wars Disney Plus series, plans for May the 4th, and a full breakdown of everything happening in the Star Wars Galactic Cinematic Television Streaming Universe. All of it on The Droids.
Oh.
He lost the Star Wars. Welcome back to The Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Chris, Ryan, and Sam, I am Mike, and thrilled to be back to end our shared narrative as we finish part six. I'm not saying the pod's over, but the shared narrative of experiencing Duel of the Fates, the Derek Connolly, Colin Trevorrow script for episode nine, we've reached our point where this conversation's going to come to its end. Our narrative is finally over.
We conclude the droid saga.
The saga ends.
Boring conversation anyway.
But before we get to all of that, we do have some news we want to discuss. Just some programming notes. Obviously, May the 4th on the horizon coming up this Monday. That evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, we will be watching The Empire Strikes Back on Disney Plus. I just threw the time out there. I don't even know if these guys are available at 7 p.m. Eastern. But
like
we're doing it at 7 p.m. Eastern, live.droidspod.com. Find us there. Watch along with us, just like we watched Star Wars, or some would call it A New Hope. We are going to watch The Empire Strikes Back all together.
Yeah.
Get our reactions to first seeing this movie live.
First time ever. Would you believe it? This, everyone says it's the best one, but none of us had seen it.
I thought that when I saw the first one as a kid, I thought, this is so good. What do I need any others for?
You're in for a treat.
It'll also be on YouTube, so you can go to YouTube, search Droids Pod, and then also on the Droids Twitch channel.
Also Droids Pod.
Also Droids Pod. So we'll put all that information in the bio.
So spend your May the 4th with us. Other pods might be doing 24-hour live streams of every movie. Well, we're focusing on one, and I think that's a little bit more manageable for everyone's schedule.
Other pods that we're fans of.
Yes.
Imagine our disappointment when we were stabbed in the back like that.
I mean, we knew that Zoom had been hacked, but I didn't realize that it was other pods, you know, ones with bigger followings that were looking for ideas.
Yeah, when they said that that Zoom had been hacked, I didn't know they meant that it was full of hacks.
Yeah.
So
who steal our idea that we had on a private chat and didn't mention publicly anywhere.
And didn't act on, ever.
And we're never going to do.
You know, you can still hold a grudge, even if they didn't really steal.
Yeah, who has the time? You know what? Who has the time?
Well, May 4th, join us, 7 p.m. Eastern, all the channels, DroidsPod on YouTube, DroidsPod on Twitch, and of course, live.droidspod.com. That'll take you to the Facebook page of the Droids Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram, DroidsPod, and of course, email us, droidspod@gmail.com. If you have a topic you want us to discuss during The Empire Strikes Back, let us know, droidspod@gmail.com. Of course, continue to leave us reviews. For those of you who did watch the first edition of our live stream, we have chosen our first winner of a Sam custom painting. Sam, I know this is news to you, so you're going to have to get to work, and we're going to have to reach out. But, Little Gray Bunny, you have made this win. It is going to be your custom painting.
Yay.
From Sam.
Sorry, you want me to paint a Little Gray Bunny? Is that what you're saying, Mike?
Well, this is a choice from Little Gray Bunny. And I say Little Gray Bunny, I think we actually, it's Little Gray Bunny and Edward, right? Edward was on throughout the live, so the two of them together get to make their choice. So that is exciting.
Well, but ultimately it is Little Gray Bunny's choice. Don't let Edward, like, you know, if you don't want him to be part of the choice.
Well, I think the thing we have to say, though, is Edward was a lot more active in the live chat. He was there representing Little Gray Bunny.
But what I'm saying is it's Little Gray Bunny's win.
Little Gray Bunny.
Here's what I'm saying.
No, I'm not going to insert the Edward thing is a handshake deal.
I'm not going to insert myself into these people's relationships. I just need to know what to paint.
I'm trying to stir the pot. We're in quarantine.
That's great.
Everybody's stuck together.
Sam will paint you a really nice rabbit photo. He'll take a nice picture of a rabbit for you.
I'm going to give you Han Solo with a little gray bunny head.
can you make that Han Solo just wearing bunny ears?
No, let's be
holding a little Easter basket, and his eyes are all wide, and he's going, please.
reach out with your choice about what you'd like me to paint. A character or a scene, a favorite like kind of scene from a movie that I can pull. And it'll be somewhere between. I'm trying to look at what the actual sizing of my paper is. It's somewhere around like 6x6 or maybe like, you know, 5x7, somewhere in that range. Kind of a small little watercolor. But I'm excited. I can't wait to see what's chosen and have a new project.
Sam, would you be willing to draw a picture of Han Solo chewing on a giant comically sized carrot, and it has a little word bubble that says, "What's up, Doc Ondar?"
Yeah, I think you
is that
are.
On the table?
I think you're going to draw that.
We've made a lot of jokes, but we want to make
Gray Bunny.
Make
Little
sure
Gray Bunny.
He has his kind of elbow.
We'll sidebar about this. Little Gray Bunny and or Edward.
He has his elbow kind of on the side of a Sarlacc pit that he's like popped out of.
You guys who don't paint love to come up with ideas of things to paint, right?
So
everybody's a painter these days.
So when is that again, Mike? What are we doing? It's Monday. I'm just reiterating.
Well, Chris, Monday. The live Monday is Monday. I think Edward and Little Gray Bunny they can get to us when they have time. There's no time restraints on that.
I'm saying for the live stream.
Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern, May the 4th, Empire Strikes Back, live at droidspod.com.
Oh, May the 4th. That's a nice little coincidence.
Huh? Isn't it? That's great.
Isn't it? But we've made a lot of jokes.
Did you guys ever notice that? That sounds like May the 4th?
No, I haven't.
Fun. That's fun.
I still don't understand.
Yeah, what's that?
But we made a lot of jokes. Sam will be painting a scene of your choice from the Star Wars saga. Or if you want to do one of the standalone films, that's an option as well. But it will be one of those scenes. And Edward, Little Gray Bunny, we look forward to hearing from you. Droidspot@gmail.com. Let us know what you want Sam to paint. And maybe Sam will also share that for anybody who does not get a chance to look at it when it's sent to Little Gray Bunny and Edward. We will post that up on the Instagram page.
Wonderful.
Maybe.
A lot of commitments we're making for you, Sam.
I know. And
yeah,
here's
thanks,
a follow-up question. Now, the live stream on Monday, May the 4th at 7 p.m. on
guys, I don't
Twitch,
think Chris
YouTube,
is coming to the live stream.
And Facebook. On Facebook. Will Sam be doing another drawing?
Ooh, good question. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go.
I'll probably do it.
That's there you go.
That's about as firm a commitment as you're going to get.
I'm trying to sell this thing. Oh boy. Hey.
Chris.
So there you go. You may or may not have the opportunity to get a picture drawn by Sam, but at least you'll probably see older pictures that he's drawn.
Listeners, if you're listening right now, if you show up, then yeah, I'll draw one.
Boom.
But if you don't, if other people do, but you don't, no, I'm not going to.
And the you Whoa. You're speaking of is me, Chris.
I'm speaking to the listener.
Oh, okay, good. A little confused. All right. Well, there you have it. That's Monday, May the 4th, 7 p.m. We're watching Empire Strikes Back. Mike, is there news?
There's news. I do want to say, Chris, if you wanted to really sell this, though, you should have like teased our special guest that we're going to have.
Oh, yes. We have a special guest.
Well, you're going to have to join the live stream.
Dig out of this one.
Chris is going to have to join the live stream to find out who the special guest is as well.
Yes, I'll show up.
All right. So Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern, live.droidspod.com, YouTube DroidsPod, Twitch DroidsPod. The news before we get to part 6 of our conversation on the Duel of the Fates is that there have been rumors that there will be a new Disney Plus Star Wars show that is led by Leslie Headlin, who worked as the creator, writer of Russian Doll, and co-creator, I should say, and showrunner of Russian Doll. She will be joining and creating a female-centric show, which, again, interesting that they had to, like, designate that rather than just say she's going to make her version of a Star Wars story. And so that's exciting. I'm excited to hear that we've got, you know, more voices within Star Wars, and I'm glad that it sounds like there's progress on other productions, even though everything is halted right now.
So this is cool because, like, Russian Doll obviously was awesome, and Leslie Headlin, I believe, started as a playwright as, like, off-Broadway stuff in New York. She did an adaptation of her work called Bachelorette that's, like, a really funny movie. Then she made another movie called Sleeping with Other People. It's also really funny and good. So it's, like, to me, like, this is what they should be doing. Like, hiring this, like, young, like, cool talent to be making Star Wars shows and movies.
Well,
you know, like, it's time to move forward. Let's get some fresh blood in there.
Yep.
And I want to just
We've been saying this for years.
Just to really kick off this conversation, she was on the red carpet of The Rise of Skywalker, and she had some interesting things to say just about what she would do with Star Wars. And so I'm going to see if I can play this real quickly, and we can all take a listen.
Oh, wow.
Let me see here. You know, I want the audio to come up perfectly, so.
Tell me, what kind of Star Wars fan are you?
I am the type of Star Wars fan that doesn't even have a favorite movie. I just want to live in the universe of Star Wars continually, in perpetuity, forever. So when people are like, what's your favorite Star Wars movie? I'm like, there is no Star Wars movie. There is only Star Wars.
So when are you writing a Star Wars movie?
Oh, please, please, Queen. Queen Kathleen Kennedy.
Do you have ideas?
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I think I've had ideas for Star Wars movies since I was 13 years old, maybe 8 years old.
Well, Leslie, if you want to live in Star Wars, all you have to do is come on this podcast, because we're living Star Wars every day.
Open invite. Wow. Well, what a foreshadowing that was played there.
When you played that clip, I thought the guy conducting the interview, I thought it was a character. I thought it was a bit at first. That guy sounded like a Muppet.
They have going at the interviewer.
Oh, who is that, a friend of yours?
He's my best friend. Wow.
Well, you
can
see it.
That's
maybe
encouraging.
It was a Muppet.
It's very encouraging.
Well, I think it's exciting to see that passion, because, you know, rather than a passion just for the idea of making a Star Wars movie because, hey, that's cool, she's actually here to make a Star Wars series because she's a fan. And I think seen the last, 7 years has shown us, it's best to be a fan and make something rather than someone who's cold, calculated, doesn't really get why Star Wars is what
it is. Well, I think we've said it on the pod before, but it's like the kind of the idea of, like, being a fan of a Star Wars movie versus being a fan of Star Wars.
Yep.
And I think that's kind of the people that we need now in the universe are the people that are a fan of, like, the sum of the parts.
Yeah, I'm a fan of some of the movies.
also it's like this happened in the comic book industry too, where it's like there are people who grew up with it, that it's like they've had this in their head, like she said, since they were a kid. It's like Batman. It's like, yeah, I don't remember learning what Batman was. It's just, you always kind of knew. So it's like you have all these people who have been dreaming up stories in their head, these creatives, for years. So it's like now they're at this level that they're, like, experienced creatives who have, like, honed a skill. And this is an exciting thing to have those people making these stories now that have been ruminating on them forever.
Well, and Sam, to address your point, she had not seen The Rise of Skywalker yet. So she may say she doesn't have a favorite Star Wars
She was
movie.
Walking,
oh,
no,
walking
yeah.
into
she was
it.
Walking
so.
In. Yeah, they didn't see that as she was walking out. They were like, would you want to make one of these again? And she was like, I don't know. Maybe.
It's so complicated now.
She said no comment and put her hand up.
Walking into Rise of Skywalker like an oncoming freight train.
She pulled a Fauci and just, like, slowly dipped her head and covered her face.
Wow.
Well, I don't know if any of you have watched all of Russian Doll. I certainly enjoyed that series a lot. I thought that it was really well executed and well directed, and I'm excited that somebody who created something as, you know, I don't know if I'd say innovative, but as like, has this perspective it's trying to bring across is really exciting.
It was fresh.
It was definitely fresh.
Like,
yes,
it took a concept that's been around forever.
But
it really made it
cool
and new.
I would love to see a Star Wars movie that kind of broke the bounds of the standard plot structure and kind of played with time and things like that. I don't think we've seen that yet.
No. Yeah. I think we actually thought maybe we would see it with the idea of time travel and the Emperor, but that wasn't the case.
No, it was so much lamer than that.
So we'll look forward to that whenever production does resume. They'll have to, you know, obviously get, I think they could get to the point where they're ready for production right now. Like, with everybody working from home, you could do most of the things in terms of writing scripts, making decisions about actors. Obviously, you couldn't do a lot of pre-pro because you wouldn't know timing there. But I feel like you could say, hey, we've got this thing fully buttoned up, 8 episodes written. We know that it's going to be starring this person. If it's an Ahsoka series, we know Rosario Dawson, like how this might all work. You could get a lot of your ducks in a row before this quarantine ends and be ready to go.
You could certainly get the scripts written.
we might see a lot of just like really like fast production schedules and are just like really thought out, well made shows coming up because of that aspect of people have had a lot of time to sit and actually slow down and think about the process the whole way through.
It's interesting you bring that up, Chris, because we're probably, and it's a, well, you can say if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but we don't have any new Star Wars on the horizon other than The Mandalorian. And if you were, say, waiting and we thought Avengers Endgame was supposed to come out this May instead of last May, and then that movie just got pushed, that'd be a bit devastating to sit and be like, oh, we have to wait so much longer for it. But with Star Wars not having anything but The Mandalorian, it feels a little bit more like, all right, Lau, this is the time, and I think we've said it on the pod before, sort things out, Lucasfilm. Figure out what you're doing next. Where are you going with these films? What do you want to do as the next chapter? And you know who can help you? Rian Johnson. But also, come up with a plan. Come up with what you want to do. Do you want to do individual films? Do you want to do trilogies anymore? You know, map this out. It doesn't need to be like the MCU, but they should have a greater plan that they come up with during this time.
Yeah.
Is Hop Salacious, on a Zoom call, you know?
Is Salacious available?
We could do the Salacious Crumb movie, the four of us, and for budget of $38 million. That's all we need.
It's called Bread. The movie will be called Bread.
And you learn how he became a crumb.
Yeah. You're just a piece of bread. You know what? You're worse than a piece of bread.
Well, we find out that he was a loaf of bread who worked at a tabloid magazine.
He was a baker.
He'd write things about space celebrities, and they'd say, Salacious.
He was working across the street from where the Mando walks by all his fellows on spits. Oh, I guess that's a sequel, right?
And then he hits his head and starts having that laugh.
Wait, does the B does the B stand for bread, Chris?
Yes, Salacious Bread Crumb.
Now it all makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, all right, let's get to part 6 because, you know, if we don't start this soon enough, we're going to never get to the end and Sam's going to lose.
Worth noting, though, on May 4th, also Disney Plus, The Rise of Skywalker will be released.
Is it worth noting, Chris?
It is worth noting. And also, along with us doing our live stream, New York Comic Con, this is worth mentioning, I think, and Chicago Comic Con, a lot of the cons have decided since, in lieu of holding their own Comic Cons, which they can no longer, they're going to be doing a lot of May 4th, the events. So just Google May the 4th Comic-Con. We do have a lot of competition from the new Chicago Comic-Con, where they will also be live tweeting The Empire Strikes Back at 7 o'clock on Monday. So,
wow. You're saying I didn't plan this very well, Chris?
Choose wisely. I just promoted theirs, though, for some reason.
Just have a bunch of screens up, like The Architect and The Matrix.
Real quick, New Hope at 10 a.m. for New York Comic-Con. Clone Wars finale at 2 p.m., Q&A with Vanessa Marshall, 3 p.m. Book Con, we'll do a Rebels rewatch. So there's a lot of fun events, and then also on Revenge of the Fifth, everyone's doing a lot of fun events. So if you can't make it to the con, there's some good alternatives there.
Can you tell us what's at prime time, 7 p.m., that we'll be programmed against?
Yeah, that would be the Star Wars Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back live tweet with Chicago Comic Con.
Oh, well, it's a live tweet. You can read.
Yeah,
and watch.
So we could kind of we can hop in on that.
Watch
we
with
grab
us.
Their...
Listen
yeah.
to us talk and read what they're tweeting.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
perfect.
That's great.
But
that's
are they starting at 7 Eastern or 7 Central, Chris? That's pretty
7
important.
Eastern, it says.
Wow.
They
right.
know how to get those. They get that audience. And then on
bring
the...
up your Twitter. Bring up your Facebook.
On the 5th. They're doing a Fallen Order live stream, so maybe we'll get on hop on the old Twitch channel and get in on that. So
yeah, I'll get we'll.
I don't know
some healthy counter program.
Yeah, anyway, I thought that was worth mentioning to our fans who are looking to get in the community, but cannot make it outside. So good alternatives there. Stay inside, stay safe, stay healthy, everybody, and enjoy this.
Lots to look forward to on May the 4th. Of course, ours at 7 p.m. Eastern, but enjoy the entire day. Find everything that's available to you, and hopefully end your evening with us. All right, so part 6, Duel of the Fates. We're wrapping things up here. There's only really about 12 more pages of the script. We are at the point where Rey, blinded by Kylo, is now fighting him, using the Force and anticipating every move. They are evenly matched. We've also, on Coruscant, we've lost our dear, dear Chancellor Hux to impalement of himself. So the battle has turned in favor of the Resistance, thanks to Lando and his scoundrels arriving just at the nick of time as Leia was ready for them to announce the retreat. All the scoundrels join in the battle, and Rose has been tinkering with the hyperdrive on the capital ship, which is also just the capital on Coruscant, which we found out was a ship. But that's kind of where we are. Finn still boots on the ground, fighting with all of the other former stormtroopers who've become Resistance fighters, as well as the 10,000 or so people who were living beneath Coruscant. And here's where we land. We're back to Mortis and Kylo and Rey getting ready to finish their duel. Before we start that, though, anything from our previous conversation that's lingered with all of you, you know, more of thinking about this impaling of Hux. I don't know. I think that was maybe got to be the best moment of the whole script, right?
You know, I was always hoping that's how it'd go out, that he'd impale himself on a purple lightsaber.
It was
disturbing.
It was the moment when I read that in the script. It was the moment where I realized that that they'd lost the Star Wars.
I said, this will never be in a movie, and then I knew we'll never get the movie we deserve.
Oh, is this the reason? You think this is it? This is why they didn't make Episode 9 was because they're
this
like,
is
we
the
can't
moment,
have it.
This is the moment that made JJ, or he wasn't, Kathleen, throw the script across the room. She's disgusted.
That was the, it was the straw that broke the Dubak's back.
So, Kylo and Rey, they're countering back and forth, anticipating every move. But at one point, finally, Rey, with all of the power that she's gleaned from herself, but also from her found family through the Force, she gets a vicious swing and shatters Kylo's hilt, destroying it and several of his fingers. He looks in disbelief, stumbles backwards, and there's Rey standing over him, flowing with energy. And here is where we are reminded, I think at this point you kind of think, all right, well, we had Rey at her lowest moment. It's over. How is she going to overcome, you know, being blinded, bleeding from the eyes? How can she possibly now go and defeat Kylo? And then I think after this, you think Kylo has been defeated. This is the end of him. He's not going to have any other chance. And I love in films when there's enough going on in the climax and you're cutting back and forth. You have enough to think about, enough to focus on, that maybe for a moment you forget something else that's been set up for you in the film, which is the idea that Kylo can steal the living Force. And just when you think he's done, he sees the power that is kind of emanating off of Rey. And he says that, you know, they were wrong, all of them, the power of Mortis, this place, he says, can't be taken, but it's nothing compared to you. And he tries to take the living Force from her. And I thought that was, again, I like where there's the chance to maybe forget something that then surprises you later in the script. And that might just be mm-hmm. me, but that was the way I read
it. Do you think that, you know, I don't know if you guys believe in the multiverse theory, but in the multiverse of worlds where this one got made, that the shared aspect of both episode 9s would have been that there was a scene of fingers growing back?
Interesting. Very interesting.
Also, isn't it weird how much more graphic the idea of someone getting their fingers cut off in a movie is than someone getting their hand cut off?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Well,
and I'm
times.
Thinking, like, we're seeing her crying blood. He's holding up a few yeah. stubby fingers. This is gnarly, man.
I was just going to say,
really this five times the fun.
Sounds like Thanksgiving at my house.
Like, one of the misgivings I have about this movie, but also one of my favorite parts, is that, I mean, this movie is dark. And it goes for, like, you know, I think the bad version of this movie, had it gotten made, would have been, like...
It did get made.
Like, really, in the bad version, in the multiverse, you know, there's multiple versions
universe.
Of this movie that got made, right? And right. one of those multiverse versions that's, like, not great is, like, really sort of macho, badass, like, trying to, you know, turn Star Wars into almost, like, you know, a James Cameron, like, Marines, Starship, or, you know,
yeah.
Verhoeven,
someone yelling,
Starship
like,
Troopers.
Get some.
Like, yeah, like, just, like, tough guy, like, bullshit, and this image of, like, Rey flowing with power, standing, blinded over energy, like, just a total hard ass, you know? And then, but then, the, you know, the good version is that it pulls in these, like, this sort of darker iconography and imagery of war that, like, makes Star Wars actually a little bit scary, have a little bit of weight, have a little bit of impact, like, in terms of, like, a human cost, or a human slash alien life cost. But, yeah, they both would have had, all the versions would have had fingers grown back. That's true.
Well, speaking of that, he's...
Kylo Ren, now in an ascot, stands tall.
Smoking jacket and ascot.
Fingers and ascots. That's what happens when you can steal the life force from someone.
Family show, Mike.
Well, so... I can't continue now.
Keep your fingers away from my ascot.
Oh. He's returning to normal. You can see his face is healing. The iron plates fall off his skin. And as he continues to take more from her, it really seems like Rey is almost gone. She then says, Ben, please. Which, again, this kind of echo from him asking her before, saying please. And then she doesn't take his hand. So I thought that was nice, but obviously that's not all that you get here. Leia then feels the disturbance. And then she says Ben's name. And then she says, come back, come home. And something happens to Kylo when he hears his mother's voice. This feels like basically exactly what we saw in The Rise of Skywalker. And then she says, help us. And it's kind of that where he makes his turn. And to me, that's my weakest point in this script, and was weak in The Rise of Skywalker to me, because I don't know. I don't think that if this could have been what would have saved him all along, you don't think that Leia would have used the Force to communicate with him to say his name and say, help us, long ago? I just am not buying this as a actual good redemption for him and a turn. I just didn't feel like it was enough.
It's the problem.
I was just going to say, the problem is with, like, the Leia, she kept using the Force to say Martha, and it didn't work.
The name thing.
Yeah.
Hollywood loves names.
Yeah, it just, and it never works. It's like, it's a strange thing, because the problem they keep running into is that they want the, and I understand because it's like his mother and stuff, but they want the redemption to come from an outward source of the legacy characters. Like, yeah. Leia has the ultimate power to, like, do this. But to me, it's more interesting if we see actual conflict in him, and it's due to, like, the situation he's in.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. One can assume that, like, he's already, like, kind of dealt with his parents. He killed his dad. So it's like, you know, I understand he still has this soft spot for Leia. We see it in The Last Jedi. I think it works there. But you can't have them having no interaction and then one thing at the end. It just reads as a deus ex machina.
But I think, though, in this instance, it reads to me a little bit like each time. So in Force Awakens, when Han says, come on, come home, son. He's still getting prompted each time. And so this one, like, Leia's kind of prompting him this time. But I guess it is true. It's like he's not purely making the decision on his own. But
to me,
in both these circumstances, he's getting... in order to, like, go on your path of fate, you still need the prompt. And so I think for me, this just reads as, like, all right, well, Han prompted him in The Force Awakens. He said no. And now Leia's prompting him in this movie, and he's gonna do the right thing.
To me, the issue comes from the fact that his success or defeat in this instance is contingent upon these outside forces. What would be more interesting to me, if you want to have a emotional redemption for him, is for him to be successful or defeated, assumedly defeated, he's the bad guy, in like these organic story terms, by Ray, by the person he's with, whatever is happening in that room, and
in
then
the moment.
You can
yeah.
introduce
yeah.
these emotional things. Once yep. he's been defeated, then you bring in the Leia sure. Relationship and have him make his decision then. Because yeah. it's like, if he's at the height of his power and yeah. he's been like this like they're, menacing thing, yep. it's like, why in that moment would he?
Yep.
It's like, this is the kind
they're
of thing
kind of,
if someone
kind of
put a hand on his shoulder,
they're kind
he'd
of
be like, get away from me.
Yep. They're kind of putting a hat on a hat, though, where it's like, they're just basically doing the same scene over again, where he's like, oh my gosh, he switched at the height of his power. Like, it's kind of a, like, a little bit of a trick.
Have you ever seen someone try to like calm someone down during a bar fight? It doesn't work.
It's a
like,
gradual.
They calm them down after they get
yeah,
knocked
then,
on
and
their
then
ass.
After they people start making rational decisions, like, oh hey, sorry man, like
yeah,
yeah
like
yeah.
it's like you,
Ryan,
you, know, you kind of
you've never
to,
had your mom whisper in your ear during a bar fight.
Yeah, she whispers, go get them.
No, I wonder if it's
go get my purse back.
I wonder if, though, like, Ryan, it's, you know, the thinking, and I'm not saying it's right, because you're making, I think you've made a strong case, right? But I wonder if some of the thinking
is thanks,
Sam.
Wow.
Okay.
I'm joking. Go on.
I wonder if, I know. I wonder if some of the thinking, though, is that, you know, if you wait until Kylo's been defeated, right, and he's weak, and then becomes contrite and you know takes responsibility and comes back to the light side, that almost feels like, oh, so you went and you lost and now you want to come back.
Yeah.
Oh. Because like you behaving like a jerk didn't work, and so now you want our like I worry that people would read that as like, oh, now that he lost, he wants to come back. So almost the version I would then say is like, well, what if he wins? What if he you know, what if he wins and achieves everything, and at that moment then has something cuts? I mean, they're looking for the dramatic moment of cutting through, yeah. right? That's what they're going for. And I think you're right that it doesn't work. And the name thing seems to be like Hollywood shorthand that never lands for me.
And yeah. Well,
maybe
should,
it's just because I'm someone who's always called yeah. by my name. But
we should set up that moment here, because it's after he hears from Leia that he reaches out his hand. He takes Rey's hand. The Force flows back into her. We see that they collapse into one another. Rey is now close to him, their foreheads touching. We don't have a kiss in this scene. But in his weakened last moments of his life, he says, Solana. Rey is stunned to find that her name is Rey Solana. And those are Ben Solo's last words. And Sam, you can continue your point. I think when I heard, again, it just didn't seem necessary, but go ahead.
Sorry. You can go ahead. No.
Well, it just going. as a response to Sam's scathing indictment of the point I made.
Well, don't make stupid points.
What I'm saying is it needs to be a little more nuanced, where it's like he's defeated, and not that that's the point that he becomes like, he's like, okay, like I'm ready to come back. That's just the point that he's vulnerable enough that like he'll listen. You know, literally, like it's like, as opposed to it being like someone's putting a hand on his shoulder and him slapping it away and being like, get away from me. He's like, he has nothing else to do but like listen, because he's defeated. So it's and you know, this is more like how I wanted to see Ben Solo's arc end, which is that he kind of has to come to terms with this on his own. You know, like people can not this thing of like, now I'm part of the resistance, but like maybe I won't be a intergalactic supervillain.
Yeah,
and
maybe
it doesn't come from a talk with mom or dad. You know, maybe it's like,
yeah, like they could say something, but we need to see him make the decision.
Actively see that
again,
moment.
It's a MacGuffin. It's just like it's a shortcut. It's not.
Yeah, it's a.
Earned.
It's definitely. It's a tricky. There's a tricky scene there.
This dude hates his parents. Like he hates his parents. So it's like, I understand that like he'll always kind of love them too and need them, as he says in the Last Jedi, you can't stop needing them. But it's also like, one can imagine that he's thought that Leia could say his name before, and he didn't completely fall
right.
to pieces.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
so.
I think if there would have been that could have also been benefited if there was like a little more setup with that kind of thing rather than it coming out of nowhere.
And I'm sure that would have been a note.
Yeah,
from someone about the script.
I don't know. It didn't make it into the notes for The Rise of Skywalker. So
I think. So back,
Terrio was like, "I really want to get it right this time." The mom name thing.
So going to the name, the thing that first struck me is Solana, S-O-L, I believe, is sun, soul, so ray yes. of sun, a ray of light, a ray of sunshine, which I thought was interesting, but a little on the nose.
I don't understand why it means anything to her. I mean, I know she wants to know her last name, but like,
well, the Solanas sold her a droid with a bad motivator.
Like, it
she's
says
just
in the
like
script,
I
she's
know
shocked.
Those people.
She's shocked to learn that her name is Solana. It's like, why is she shocked to know that that's the name?
I think it's relief. I think it's relief to know that she has a family that she, in a lineage and a heritage that she can look up.
That's yeah. And then at the end, we see her like swiping the inside of her cheek with a Q-tip and
exactly. She says it too. It says Coruscant. 26 and
no
me.
I'm not dismissing how that would be an important thing to someone at all.
Yeah, no, I think
it's like it's just like the way it's written in the script.
Yeah,
like,
I
strange.
Think again, this is one of those things, much like we were just discussing with the how Ben gets that kind of MacGuffin. I think these are just scenes that are very they don't make sense on the surface. They're very hard to write. It like there's like one way to do them right without them being hokey, and it's really, really difficult. I don't
Hollywood,
know if they
apparently
got it.
They call it DOE, dependent on execution.
Oh, okay.
That's why they like studios like high concept things, you know, like where it's like two guys, you know, it's like 48 hours in an elevator or like whatever, you
yeah
know? It's like because it's the concept sells itself, it's not dependent on execution.
Yep.
So that's one of these. That's just a fun little thing.
That would be
you.
A DOE then for sure for me.
I heard that on a podcast. I'm not
that's
a Hollywood insider.
I wonder, there's such an interesting, I don't know, this is sort of a sideline of conversation. We've talked about it a lot, and I'm hung up on this idea of like the importance
of names. Don't
worry,
we'll get to the end in part 7.
The importance of like names and naming and lineage and family. And there's like, there's sort of this, so Star Wars is like, In terms of its storytelling and its sort of like we've talked about how, you know, George Lucas was influenced by a lot of like Americana and classic pulp sci-fi. And there is something that's like that feels and has historically always felt like very like Star Wars always felt like a very American kind of story. And I'm not trying to be like jingoistic about it or anything, but the idea that there's these two kind of competing things where there's this like very American like sense of like pride and idealism around like coming from nothing and pulling oneself up by one's bootstraps, but then there's also this really strong like idea of like, you know, in America your family and lineage and name, you know, are important and stuff. And it almost feels like in this recent in this sequel trilogy you kind of see both those philosophies of like what is quote unquote the American dream or the American ideal or just an ideal if we want to take the Americana out of it, like at odds between the way these movies have been structured about like what's, you know, where the value is and what's important. Is it in self-reliance and, you know, self-determination and determinism, or is it in, you know, your you know, honoring your past and your lineage and like having reverence for where you come from. Is that interesting?
You end everything you say with, is that interesting?
I do sometimes because I like have these conversations with my wife Rachel where I'll just like I'll do that. I'll talk for like 10 minutes about like a thing that like some nuanced thing from Star Wars or like the Terminator movies, and she'll be very politely listening and I'll be like, is this interesting?
Maybe a Batman, maybe a James Bond. I think
she's like, yeah, well, it's between that or staring at the wall, I
guess. During quarantine it's been pretty interesting actually.
Yeah, no, I do think that's it.
Do you ever think about how the T-1000 actually had much less advanced technology than the T-5?
I wonder how it cornered. I think it is interesting, Sam. All right.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, I think it's interesting.
Yeah. Moving on.
Chris, I was waiting because it seemed like you had something you wanted to say, but you just wanted to give it a
nod.
I
lost it.
Yeah,
one. That's okay.
I do think that we find out here, because of all of this, the next Star Wars film is Rey going to the Galactic Phone Book and finding all the Solanas. So
yeah,
right.
Which one? Yeah, it's
that's the next movie.
It's like that movie with Vince Vaughn.
Oh, where he's a parent of 1,000 children.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
Delivery man.
Yeah, I think. And then, so that's his last words, which I think are. I think that's a kind of a sweet little thing that, like, his last breath is spent giving Rey something that she so desperately wanted to know. I think that's kind of nice. And then I feel like Daisy Ridley would have crushed the line, "Goodbye, Ben." Like, I could hear her saying it in her Daisy Ridley way. I think it would have been very, very, like, chilling.
Goodbye, Ben.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
As long as they... As long as they didn't edit it so that she had no emotion as she flew away afterwards.
Yes, yes. I think it would have been an amazing thing. And then, like, oh, how do you cut
so
after
wild.
That?
Why did they do that? Guys, I haven't seen Rise of Skywalker since theaters. Since one time in theaters, and it's coming on May 4th, and I haven't decided yet if I'm gonna you know, watch it.
Sam, I think what you're saying is double live stream. We do Empire straight into a hate watch of Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, no.
With
no
Sam's
hate watches.
First rewatch.
No hate watches.
I know, Chris. I'm sorry.
No, we're the only podcast that does a hate watch of the subject that we talk about.
I mean, it would be very on brand for Star Wars fans.
Can we do them simultaneously and then just talk about both movies and you, the audience, figure out which one we're talking about?
I think it'll be pretty easy.
the greatest Star Wars movie, or presumably the worst Star Wars movie.
Well, so Ben Solo dies. Rey releases her hold, barely alive herself, but they fought to the death. And we cut back to the Capitol steps where Finn, Poe, Chewie, BB-8, they're all, you know, standing with the Resistance flag. The ground begins to shake as the Capitol leaves its moorings. Rose, racing through the Capitol ship, gets into escape pod, launches, finds her way back. She's then with Finn, finally sees Finn. Finn is, you know, thrilled that she's alive. Commander Selleck on the Capitol ship says they're ready for lightspeed. Rose says that she's fine, and C-3PO says, oh, you're getting away. And then Finn asks her, did you disable the hyperdrive? I couldn't figure it out, and hope falls away. The war is lost. Now, we already know the Star Wars has been lost by Hux, but this script wants us to know that the war is now lost again. I do think this is, again, where we're getting to these, like, valleys of despair that have come up many times where we think our heroes have no hope. They have no chance here to overcome this. And I like that it almost sits for a moment before Rose then says, oh, but I made an adjustment to their navicomputer. Without precise calculations, that thing could. And the capital ship jumps to light speed. The moment it vanishes, gigantic boom as it collides with a distant planet. And this, just wonderful.
It would have been such a cheer in the theater at that scene.
Such a wonderful moment.
I hope no one was on that planet.
Yeah, don't worry about it. They're fine.
Deserted planet. That's a really good point.
What if it was another? It was just a different moon of Endor, and like they just show the Ewoks being like, "Oh, come on!"
Finally rebuilt Alderaan. Alderaan 2 will be a utopia. Here we go. I'm just going to take this shovel and I will dig the first hole. All right, here we go. Wait one moment. Hold on. Wait a second.
Chris, don't stop. Just keep going.
Okay, hold on. Wait.
Painting,
okay,
like, the Sistine Chapel ceiling of all. Oh, wait, Chris. Yeah, it could be Michelangelo painting the Sistine Chapel.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's how it ties into our galaxy.
Yeah, exactly. One final stroke. Here we go. And I'll be finished. Oh, wait. There's not enough paint on the brush. Let me just move the brush to the easel. Okay. Dab, dab, dab. Dab, dab, dab. All right. Moving the brush up to the painting. One final stroke. Here we go. Oh, and I'm just going to cherish this moment.
Chris, I'm crying.
Oh, that should be the movie.
I mean, obviously, think the amount of entertainment value we just got out of
it. Extrapolate that.
Wow.
How has someone not done a short film that is completely about that kind of thing, and then, like, you know, the Avengers come in and destroy, or Superman.
Yeah, exactly. You know. And this is the final... Put the final glass in my champagne tower. 1,000 glasses.
just something absolutely ridiculous. It's good.
So after the capital ship explodes in space, it's a beacon of hope. The radio communications from the very beginning that we knew that Kylo was suppressing in the First Order were suppressing as a crackle to life, as a voices fill the frequency waves, calling their brethren to fight. Everyone has finally, from the outer reaches of the galaxy, come together. And we have Finn, Poe, Rose, Chewie, all the droids look up in awe. And that's where we know that the... that Rey is gone, as Finn and Poe both feel it, that Rey is now gone. Now, we don't know anything about her being gone from the last time we saw her. It seemed like she was clinging to life, but this is our characters feeling through the Force that she's gone.
I like this handling of Force sensitivity, you know, better. I think it's simultaneously like it's more clear and less heavy-handed. In a way that, you know,
it feels more like, not to compare it to another Star Wars movie, but, you know, like the scene, you know, at the end of Empire, where Luke is calling out to Leia, you don't specifically know she's Force sensitive yet, but you're like, something going on here.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
still like a mystical nature to this. That's exciting. It feels like that.
Yeah.
Well, so Rey, we go back to her on Mortis. Light engulfs her and engulfs the frame as she rises up. We're now on an astral plane, which reading this, as she opens her eyes, it's clear again, unburdened, her eyes are fine, and then she sees a distant glimmer grow larger than the others. It's Yoda, Luke, and Obi-Wan, and she asks, is this death? They have a whole scene here, but it really just reminded me of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. It just felt like that same
like
kind
the train
of interaction.
Station.
Yeah, the train station with Dumbledore.
Was there like a Marinara baby under a bench in this
yes,
one?
Yes, there is. A Marinara baby Kylo?
That was the name of my metal band in high school, Marinara Baby.
But I love the idea of bringing all of them together, you know, Luke and Obi-Wan and Yoda being, you know, Yoda doesn't mean... Well, Yoda and Obi-Wan don't really mean anything to her, but Luke being there to kind of, like, introduce her to them.
Well, you guys.
Hey, look at you. You're weird.
Hey. What is that? Was it a little green guy?
But it...
Would she know he was green? Because they're Force ghosts, right?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Can you tell?
But she'd go, never have I seen so much green. The callback.
But
Rey now Irish.
Yeah, I don't know why I made her Irish. Well, you know, sometimes things change when you go into the Force world.
It's because you said green.
Green.
You're thinking, green.
Shout out to all our Irish listeners.
My favorite moment.
Shout out to them.
Well, that we do know we have some Irish listeners.
Yeah,
from
exactly.
Back,
that's what I said.
Years ago, we
love them.
Yeah. Yoda does say, you succeeded where we have failed. Narrow was our point of view. And to see that... And to hear that kind of realization from Yoda, which for so long it seemed so definitive that Yoda knew the right path in all cases, despite, I mean, I feel like maybe I'm hearkening back to my original trilogy perspective of Yoda versus the version of him in the prequels where we clearly see that he makes mistakes and makes misjudgments. But to have him kind of come to that conclusion at the end seems to be a very fitting way to say, oh, if we had a different point of view, Anakin wouldn't have become Darth Vader. We could have helped him find that balance.
And this is the point that JJ threw the script across the room and said, Yoda wrong? Never!
Not my Yoda! Who the man? Yoda man.
Oh, boy.
I thought it was great that Yoda said that she succeeded where they failed and he was acknowledging their failure. Is continuing on with the themes in The Last Jedi.
Yes.
This movie was existing in a way that other movies before it existed.
Yeah, too. I also like that he's kind of like in the... It kind of sets him in the same bucket as Luke too. Like, they both were like kind of struggling with this idea, and they both came, even though Yoda taught kind of Luke the way in The Last Jedi, I think now they're both kind of like, yeah, we were both wrong. Like, which,
well,
I think
Yoda, we find in The Last Jedi that Yoda's wisdom was that he didn't let failure cripple him.
Right.
Not that he was able to avoid failure. What a beautiful message to put across.
Yeah. You know, somebody should make that a painting that we can all have on our shelves. Oh, wait. I have that, and I treasure it every day.
Photocopy and sell that, Mike.
Yeah, with Mike, the photo, yeah, photocopy it and sell it. That's
Xerox it.
Take it down.
Every artist wants their work seen.
Oh, Jesus. Take it down to your local Kinko's.
You put it on the Xerox machine. You make sure you have motion smoothing on. You hit print.
Take a picture with your Game Boy camera and print it out on your Game Boy printer and sell those stickers.
Well, now we're getting to a point that it's like almost artistic.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We've made it bit art.
From here, the choice is kind of given to Rey. She can remain in this new plane of existence, or she can return. And I like the concept because it's the idea of you've dealt with so much. You've been through so much suffering, again, similar to Harry Potter. Do you want to end that? Do you want to move on from dealing with a galaxy in turmoil, as Obi-Wan calls it, the pain, the suffering, but there's also the love and all the love that the people have? It seems we kind of know it's not really a decision for her, but, you know, they try to set that up here.
Well, I think in this instance, I do like that. I think Yoda, he's, what, like 900 years old or something? He's pretty old, so I can understand him being like, all right.
Oh, yeah.
He's dead, Chris.
Was that?
No, he's dead.
No, I mean, the choice of if they've all been given this choice to stay or go, which I presume they may have been, because how would they know that information? They could go back. I think Yoda, he's lived quite a life. He's seen a lot of bad stuff. He fought in a war, the Clone Wars. He's had his apprentices go wrong. So I think, all right, I get it. Obi-Wan, sure, same thing. Not much left for him on the in the galaxy. You kind of saw Luke too. But Rey, she still has her friends. She's got her team, her squad, BB-8, the gang. So I feel like
I love Chris justifying whether these people have a reason to want to be alive. Yeah.
But I'm just saying, I'm thinking of it.
It seems mostly tied to age, also. But, so any of our older listeners out there,
I didn't know you were the lieutenant governor of Texas, Chris.
Yeah, no, I'm just thinking. I think like Obi-Wan, like what he come back and hang out in the desert again. That doesn't sound fun.
Well, it depends on which Obi-Wan we're getting, you know?
Yes,
if it's
true,
Ewan
true.
With a beard, I say live, my man.
Yeah, live, my friend. Get a space motorcycle. Start going across. But it makes me... I keep drawing the parallel to Lord of the Rings, where, like, Frodo makes that choice. That was my point, was, like, Frodo makes that choice of, like, I've lived too much of a life. I won't be able to kind of relate to anything the same way anymore, so I have to go to this new plane. I just think it's an interesting take to have her come back. I think that's cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I famously have said that's what I wanted to happen to Ben. Where
yes.
It's just like, I've seen too much. I can't do
that.
Yeah.
Yep. Same. Yeah. And I think for him, that would have made way more sense.
But literally, I want Ben to go to Rivendell.
You want to get out the tall ship. Yep.
Whatever the across the sea place is called. Oh,
I do want 9 endings.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
9 endings would have been better than the one we got.
Well, now you're talking about Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
You're not talking about Lord of the Rings.
No.
I'll have no Lord of the Rings talk on here, except what I just did.
Well, as we go back to Coruscant, the Resistance flag rises above the rubble of the Capitol. Thousands of citizens fill the square free. What's that?
Who designed that flag, you think?
I'm going to go with Connix.
I think either Connix or Snap. I think
Snap. Oh, yeah.
Well, it's a Wexley joint.
You know how Wedge was always drawing? Go on, Mike. I'm sorry. Go on.
Wait, what was the name of the slug character in The Rise of Skywalker?
Claude. Claude did it.
Claude did it. It was definitely Claude.
With his antennae, because he had no arms.
Yeah.
Claude, or it was Lando's driver that goes, oh, Curry. I love that guy.
We wrap up with a ceremonial hall. Leia in her elegant white Calrissian, her top generals around her. She places metal around each of Finn, Rose, Poe, Chewie. BB-8 beeps, and after 40 years of service, Chewie gets a medal. Now, this is fan service-y. We know this is the meta reaction, but at least it happens in a scene where people are getting medals, you know?
Yeah.
I think there's that, and I think there's the fact that, like, you know, moments of fan service that happen within the context of a compelling, good story feel very different than a story that feels comprised solely of fan service moments. You know, it's like
fan
there's
service,
just, you know, there's putting a hat on or there's just like lining up a row of hats and calling it a movie. You know,
to me, fan service means that it's like it's taking place completely outside the plot of the movie. Not like that it's something that pleases fans. Because like if you look at it, like Cap picking up Thor's hammer is fan service. However, it works in the movie.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a thing that should happen. The same thing with like Hail Hydra in Endgame.
Yep.
It's like, it's organic to the movie, and it's also something that makes fans go nuts because it's rewarding their knowledge of the thing.
Guys, when the Russo brothers tweeted out that like the on your left moment again, I mean, I've watched it at how many theaters across America in YouTube format at this point, and they tweeted it the other day when it was the 1 year anniversary. I like instantly go to tears. It's...
Dude, if I was in a bad mood, I used to watch that clips of people reacting to that when I used to be allowed to be around people.
Let's talk about a way to close out a series. Wow.
Jeez Louise. Wow. Anyway, back to this thing.
A year ago, we got Endgame, and that's why there was that rewatch. I want to go watch it now. You know, we talk about it. I want to watch it. Do I want to watch The Rise of Skywalker? No. But let's wrap this up. So we're here. We're finally getting to the conclusion. Sam, it looks like Part 7's not going to happen. We're going to wrap this thing up in 6, the way the Bulls did. Anybody watching The Last Dance out there? Anybody?
I hear you.
So,
like the running of the Bulls?
Yeah, that's the one.
Is that what we're talking about?
Yep. No. That's it.
Oh, you're talking about balls. Those Chicago Bulls and number 23, Michael Jordan.
From North Carolina. 6'6".
He did also defeat an intergalactic threat once.
That is true.
He did.
That is very true.
Patrick Ewing is an alien. I'm kidding. I love Patrick Ewing. He's great.
Guys, Bill Murray played basketball.
He did. Well, he comes in at the end as a savior.
Yeah, he's like the ringer.
Are we actually going to wrap this up?
No. Sam, we're drawing this out.
We're talking about the Space Jam.
Do your dance. It's your chance at the Space Jam. All right.
Sam has got the Star Wars Jones. Anyway.
Throw your hands in the air if you feel fine. Gonna take it into overtime.
Someone who's reset switch.
Uh-oh. I remember that movie as soon as they won the basketball game. Me and my cousin were watching it in the theater. We're like, all right, we can leave.
Oh my God. What a stunning taste you had. I remember hearing the song Basketball Jones and being like, I don't know what this means. This isn't a term I've heard.
Okay.
You know, this is going to be our new Wings. Talking about Space Jam every week of the pod. So Finn and Rose stand by Leia. They can't feel the presence anymore of Rey. She's holding the blue beacon bracelet that we saw in The Last Jedi that was supposed to guide her back to safety. There's this balance. The calm is what Leia says, and Finn says it's her. Rose says they have work to do, but Poe and Chewie are going to take the bracelet and go look for Rey. So they're even though they feel like she's gone, Poe is never going to stop looking, never give up. Leia says, okay, easy. And then Finn says, let me know what you find. Finn gives the old leather jacket from The Force Awakens back to Poe for good luck. Poe smiles, takes it, hugs him, and Chewbacca growls. I like that idea. There's so many times in this script where I've just been like, yes, I would love to see that.
Poe's Last Jedi jacket was better. I didn't like this part.
I could have gone for a kiss.
I could have gone for a kiss as well, but we know Disney.
I think it would have been dope as hell.
It would have been so good to that would have been great fan service if they ended up having those two kiss. That would have been great.
Well, and again, what Ryan said, it would have made sense for the story. It wouldn't have been out of left field.
Yeah.
But do you think that they got a direction, that there was an executive direction from Disney before they wrote this script, like, do not write a kiss for Finn and Poe?
Hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
I was going down a whole different conversation that will lead us to part seven, so let's not do that. But here we are. We get in the Falcon, Chewie and Poe heading off. You know, seems like a good placement for the two of them. He takes Rey's beacon and hangs it, replacing Han's dice on the Falcon. And then...
Ooh. Interesting that he replaces and not just adds to it.
Yeah, he throws the dice out the window.
Well, but
what are these? Where do these even come from?
But the dice were taken by Luke in The Last Jedi, and they never returned.
That's true.
That's why they weren't
there. That's right. Or I thought they vanished, though.
Well, but so that was the projection of them that vanished. Yeah. The real version of them is sitting on Octo somewhere.
Oh.
Assumedly on that slab of rock under a pile of ropes.
Yeah.
I hate to be
the island dweller that finds that pile.
So Leia checks on R2-D2 still under construction, and this is a moment that I think could be maybe divisive and is definitely manipulative. It's trying to pull at every nostalgia string, but she inserts the intact memory drive, very similar to the way she inserted the plans of the Death Star into R2 in A New Hope, and R2 beeps to life, files through the catalog in chronological order, and we witness their adventures over 60 years from the droid's perspective. We see Luke buying C-3PO from the Jawas, Obi-Wan, R2 flying the Death Star, Han getting his medal on Yavin, Yoda lifting the X-Wing, Luke saluting on Jabba's barge, Leia and Han outside the bunker on Endor. You'd think there might be some sequel trilogy stuff on here too, but R2's kind of been on the back burner for most of this. I don't know how that worked for all of you, but I'm like, I'm a sucker. I'm like, sure, I would have eaten this.
I'm fine with it. It's because it's not like integral to the story. They're like wrapping it up. Yeah, it's just like a real like, look how much fun we've had.
I love the new take on doing it from the droid's perspective. I think that would have been really fun.
Would have been cool.
Oh my god, it would have been great. And think of the little like, think of the BTS special feature that would have had.
Yeah,
that would have been a blast because they'd be like, we recreated all of these sets and scenes and moments.
So cool. Sam, you just took my mind. Exactly what I was thinking there. That was
sorry.
I wasn't gonna voice it. That's exactly what I was thinking. That was the behind the scenes thing would have been like amazing. Like, learn how they recreated these scenes 50 years later.
Heck yeah.
I think also
we actually went back and like looked at like what kind of underwear that Mark was wearing that day. We, you know, if you go through the 3D models, it's there.
I could just picture some like prop master, like the documentaries that him like unlocking a vault, like, there it is. When we first saw the props, they were in disarray, so we had to rebuild them all from scratch. The thing, no prequel love there, though. R2 was in the prequel.
I know. I was thinking that as well.
R2 on that ship, losing his mind, putting out fires on the.
That would have been cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we could have also seen his
perspective. Wedding. He was at the wedding.
We could have seen
He was at the secret wedding. Yeah.
We could have seen R2's perspective of having his rocket boosters removed so that he didn't fly anymore.
It'd be funny if he just had a bunch of he got stuck on a replay. Of
but
Luke
you know
and Leia
what?
Kissing.
It actually does make sense. They had his mind erased in Revenge of the Sith.
No, they didn't. The protocol.
No, they didn't.
Have the protocol droid minds wiped.
Oh, R2 remained intact.
Yeah,
that's actually,
despite the fact
going
that he
around.
Can communicate with the protocol droid easily.
So he should have been telling people more information throughout
this.
So
Chris,
that's
actually what's been going around Twitter right now, is that I guess like a 9-year-old asked her dad and said, hey, why doesn't R2 tell Luke that his father is Darth Vader? And you know, theoretically
point.
His memory is totally intact. Why doesn't he say anything and have C-3PO translate it? And they went to Mark Hamill, and Mark Hamill was like, I got nothing for you. I can't answer that.
Yeah,
I'm surprised the dad wasn't like, you shut up. Shut up.
How dare you?
So Leia then thanks R2. Leia leaves them alone together. R2 beeps affectionately. And then we go, really Leia's last scene. She steps outside, looks up at the field of stars. She looks up at the vastness of space. A star falls. It gives her peace. And that's the end of Princess Leia, General Leia Organa.
Good. Chills.
We then go to a planet known as Modesta, where we find Finn and Rose, and what they're doing here, and I don't think we need to go through the whole thing, but they're training the next, well, not training, but they've found a safe space for those force wielders because they don't know how to train. They're not Jedi. They can't do that, but they have taken younglings from across the galaxy who've been showing their force abilities, including Broom Boy. We see him as well as Dade from earlier in the script. And these children are all Force sensitive, and they've found a place for them to be safe in the galaxy.
That's great. That's great. Also, Modesta, most California-sounding name of any planet
that
ever.
That one would have got a punch.
Might as well
up,
have
like,
been called Bakersfield.
isn't George from Modesta?
I think he is, yeah.
I felt like that was part of it, but
that's
a
nice
interior
little
Napa
I like
Valley
that.
Day.
Actually, they're on the ground of what would be, I wonder if they would have filmed that at Skywalker Ranch.
Oh wow!
Like the grounds outside or something, as a nod.
There's like a Yoda statue. And
that would have been hilarious.
They've got
oh my gosh! By. Could you imagine if it was the same Yoda statue that was at Skywalker Ranch, just like in a fountain somewhere different?
Then it just like goes literally into the prop museum.
Yeah,
that would be kind of amazingly cool.
That would
to go see.
That would be a very cool connection.
Because then, if you could visit and everyone could go and visit the actual Yoda, that'd be really cool.
That would be
we're
fun.
We're starting with a better script and we're punching it up.
Yeah, now we're like going across mediums. We're thinking about the company.
There's an app, right? You get the app, you scan in the Yoda statue, you get 10 points.
Oh, it's an AR experience?
It's an AR experience.
So you scan in your phone, and now you're on the planet of Modesta?
Now you're on Modesta.
That's right.
There are younglings running around you. In the distance, you see a figure. It seems familiar, but you're not quite sure. And as much as you continue to walk closer, it just gets farther away. Anyway, I do think that would be hilarious, though. You're on Skywalker Ranch, and there's Favreau in the background just picking some greens, getting ready to cook something.
He's wearing a robe.
Do these look good, chef? Do these look good, chef?
So then there's a
my wife literally just said, don't make fun of Jon Favreau. She can only hear my part of the conversation.
So there's a tremor in the Force. And they feel like there's some realization. And Poe, we cut to Poe and Chewie on the Falcon. And the beacon hanging from the dash suddenly glows. Chewie roars. Chewie turns the ship around. Poe says, I know. Go back. And at this, Finn notices a glimmer of light on the horizon. A figure blurs, a familiar silhouette. BB-8 rolls forward, beeps excitedly. The kids hear the droid, stop their game, look to the fields beyond. On the horizon, Rey Solana. Her eyes are restored. Only a faint scar runs across her forehead. The kids run toward her, joined by BB-8, who is faster. Rey walks on towards the homestead. Here she will train a new generation of Jedi and pass down what she has learned, that only an understanding of the balance within can lead to peace and justice in the galaxy. The end.
I think we should start recording now.
The Star Wars.
By the way,
that beat of like,
you know, you could just see like the long shot on just the beacon, and you're like, that's gonna beep, and I'm like,
you know,
that beat always works.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I could hear just like maybe you hear like the chimes from her theme start to come in too, like that doo 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 doo, and then like
that'd
be good, and we all smile. I just got chills. That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, man, what a good movie.
Nailed it, Chris.
That would have been phenomenal, and then it like ends on a little bit of a mystery. Oh wow!
Yeah, actually, you should cut after that, after the beacon goes up, and they play the.
Oh,
yeah. That'd be cool!
Wow, that's the good ending. That's the smart ending.
I mean, you never go wrong with an ending that's just on some small, you know, little figure or device and cutting to black. Everybody loves that.
Yep.
No, you pan up, you do the thing with the and then
the rolling.
What I'm saying
is the rolling. Yeah.
Yeah, an ending with a little bit of like. You know, you keep the wonder alive.
Yep, a little wisp in
the also,
air, yeah.
It gives them the easy out that Rey doesn't have to be in any future stories if they can't get Daisy Ridley on contract again.
That's right. Yeah. Like I said, we're thinking about the company.
And then it all of a sudden goes, dun, 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 2000 man. The Rolling Stones play the final track.
So I think we've expressed so much of our feelings on this script over 6 episodes. This has been one of my favorite things that we've done on the podcast. We are going to put this all together into 1 6-hour-plus experience that when you're on your road trips coming up, because none of us want to get on any planes, you can listen to the entire 6 episodes of our discussion on the Duel of Fates. But before we wrap up, I do want to say,
as the editor, just be a little patient on that one.
Well, actually, you know, I might step in and do a little editing if you don't mind, Ryan.
Whoa.
That's fine. Hey, that's fine, my man.
Yeah, Ryan, we're
couldn't
say
that was
official. Tone Wax, Mike will be handling the longer edit. Sounds good.
Yeah, Mike, we're gonna need some sound effects on every single scene described.
Oh boy, I didn't know what I was getting into. I do want to say,
I would like my voice pitched up half a note. half
every,
a step.
Every 10 minutes.
So by the end. By the end, I'm full chipmunk.
I guess let's all give our final conclusions on this script. I think we've shown a lot of the heart we have for it. There are some issues. I don't think we need to go too deep into it because we have talked about all of our thoughts. But just as you wrap this up, how do you feel about the Duel of the Fates as you think of it? And will it remain in your collective Star Wars consciousness, even though it is not canon, even though it's just now our headcanon?
I think it is far better than what we... The script as it exists is far better than what we got. I think that people are still struggling... The creators are still struggling with what to do with Ben Solo, because I think that they cannot get over the fact that he killed Han Solo. So I think that they're dealing with that baggage, and I think that they don't nail that, but I think that the overall ending is very strong, and I think that the story wraps in the entire saga very nicely.
Very well.
I think if I could go next, I think that it is. I think it would have been so much fun to watch. I think it would have kind of ended this conversation of us versus them as far as like Last Jedi haters supporters go. I think that would have been, people would have just enjoyed kind of the middling of this movie, I think, in a positive way. I think it's not subtractive in that sense. So I think that this would have been like the fitting good feeling ending that we needed. And it would have also left us with like all the feelings of Last Jedi we could have kept and had. They expanded upon a few of them, which was great, but it wasn't like a complete retort. And I think it would have just moved the Star Wars conversation forward overall. And I think it would just been like so much fun to watch. I think we all would have been like, yeah, I'll put that on. Like, I'll equate to something Sam says, like, you would just put it on a Sunday afternoon and let it roll and do your day chores and check in on it. Like, that's the kind of movie this would have become, and it would have had that Force Awakens spirit. So I loved it. I love reading it. I'll keep this memory near and dear.
Chris, putting on a Star Wars in the background on a Sunday doing your chores, you just described my ideal movie, first of all, to a T. Like, maybe actually, but also, yeah, the sort of best way I could say it is it kind of breaks my heart that this thing, you know, didn't get made. And not, you know, it was still a year out from, it was a year out from The Last Jedi coming out, right? This date of the script. So,
yeah,
you know, there was so much time. I know the film would have been different than the script, but this was just so much sturdier of a foundation. I was thrilled by what they did that was new and different with Star Wars, which again was my favorite part about The Last Jedi, that this was, you know, kind of a, you know, a war movie, a little darker. And I just think that there were, I agree with Ryan, the Kylo Ben stuff is where it needed maybe for me the most work. But even in its current state, I just think it did so much more right by the characters of the sequel trilogy, which are characters I've loved. So yeah, I'd say to anybody who was, you know, lukewarm or worse on The Rise of Skywalker, give this thing a read, dig it up, see where you can find it. And, you know, because for me, this is where, if I need a ninth part to the saga, which I'm not even sure I do, this is going to be mine.
Sam, you know, I feel like we really just did the whole job here in 6 hours. I don't know if they need to read it. I feel like they've experienced it. With all
well, that
us.
Might be true.
Yeah.
There's nothing that we didn't talk about at some point.
I echo a lot of what you have all said. I think that the thing that I'm taking away just as we finish this conversation is I think this is, I would have said before all of this that episode 8 was the conclusion to the saga. I do see this as a very fitting way to end it, and I would have been very happy to have this be an entry into a 9-film story that I think would have done a better job of being a conclusion to the sequel trilogy and overall than The Rise of Skywalker, but also I think it's a better final film than Return of the Jedi, and I love Jedi. I don't think that Jedi should be maligned the way that it is. I think there's just a lot more going on for all the characters in this script, rather than focusing just on what Rey and Kylo are doing, say that, you know, the most important part of Return of the Jedi is obviously what's going on in the story arc for Luke. You don't really have the same with Han and Leia. I mean, Leia a little bit more so. But here, I think there's still development, there's growth for all the characters who are beyond just what we're seeing with Rey and Kylo. But I'm very much in the camp of all of you that I don't think that they've found a way to do Ben right. Hopefully they would have gotten that better in some rewrites here. I am thinking that part of the reason why they might not have wanted to move forward with this script is because of the death of Carrie Fisher, and maybe that was for them a chance to say, all right, well, let's really start over because this script isn't going to work that way. I think they could have easily redone this script to make it work without Leia in there. It'd be a little bit less powerful. They would have had to just bring in Han again rather than Leia to be the voice that convinces Ben, but they could have fixed that as well. But overall, I mean, I really love this script. It might just be that I was so eager for another way for this story to end, for episode 9 to be created, that I'm a little bit more forgiving. But I find minimal flaws in this story. I mean, yes, there's dialogue that can be punched up. Yes, there's some things that could change. But I really think this is a great script, and it would have made for a great movie. And as you said, Sam, it would have wrapped up our sequel trilogy characters extremely well, the ones that we've grown to care about, the ones that they wanted us to care about, because that's the reason you even go down this road. You're not going to do another 20, you know, years worth of stories about the original trilogy characters because you can't. You have the opportunity to create this new franchise and continue to build into a Finn Disney Plus series, or you're going to do another single film with Rey after Daisy Ridley says she won't do it for 15 years. I think that they missed the mark there by not taking care of our sequel trilogy characters, and this one does it. I'm going to look back fondly on so many moments in this, and I in my headcanon, this is the way that the Star Wars saga ends. I'm going to say that I'm going to think of it as a 9-episode story, with this being the 9th episode, even though I love The Last Jedi so much that I actually am happy with that conclusion. This does the job for me that I think it deserves to still be the story in my head, even if I never saw the movie.
Well said, here. Mike. I think here. My only other thought is I really hope this is the script that he wrote. If not, whoever wrote this script, bravo to you.
I say tip of the cat to whoever did write this script.
Official tip of the cat to you for writing and leaking this script.
Are you saying we might have wasted 6 hours plus of our lives, Chris?
It's not wasted.
I don't think it was a waste. The joy that I got from reading this thing. Allegedly. This has all been allegedly.
Well, Disney is still listening, so we have to worry about that. You have to throw me allegedly, because otherwise, in court, none of this holds up.
Exactly.
Well, that will do it for our Duel of the Fates breakdown conversation. Sam, we made it. It happened. How you feeling?
I can finally sleep.
Sam, could you say, goodbye, script?
Goodbye, script.
What do we do now? I don't know what we talk about now.
What do the listeners want to hear from us? Let us know.
Well, I mean, we've got live shows coming up, so we're going to keep doing that.
We got the live show. What is that?
We'll go back. We'll catch up on the news. We're going to catch up on Clone Wars. There's stuff out there, you know. We got our live commentaries coming up. There's a lot of movies that we got to do those for, and you know, we'll eventually get those out as recorded, you know, recorded content.
I'm thinking about reading the Thrawn trilogy. Anyone want to start that with me?
That's our white whale. There it is.
Well, as you said, Chris, though, Clone Wars wrapping up here, season 7. We apologize. We are not caught up. We want to be. We want to talk about Clone Wars. I think this is that big open gap in all of our Star Wars history, and we're going
to get
to
it. Listen, we can all catch up. Mike has a kid.
One that I know of.
takes a village, you know?
Right. Wouldn't be fair to him.
I mean, if we want to split off and say those who caught up can keep doing a pod on it, go for it. But you know, we'll get there.
No, Mike, you have a kid. I can't watch it.
If we, Mike, you just that would start the Clone War Wars.
The Clone War Wars. The current Star War Wars that we are
Star
dealing
War
with.
Wars. Yeah, exactly.
Well, we thank all of you for going on this extensive journey with us of the Duel of the Fates. This has been so much fun. We hope you enjoyed it as well. Of course, email us droidspot@gmail.com, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Rate and review us on iTunes. Little Gray Bunny, Edward, you're going to be getting a Sam, a custom Sam. Email us at droidspot@gmail.com to let us know what you want Sam to paint. And we will see you 7 p.m. Eastern, Monday, May 4th, for our Empire Strikes Back live stream. This has been the Droid You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. What they throw?
Annie?
Millennial Falcon.
Excuse me, this is not the Moof Milk that I ordered.
Wait, what? Chris, what is it? One more brushstroke? Just one more?
One.
Wait for it. Here we go. Okay. All right. Let me just dip a little dab. Oh, paint fell off. Let me go again. Okay. Oh, I seem to have dropped my brush. Let me just reach for it between this scaffolding here. Okay. Okay, I got it now. There it is. All right. Applying the brush to the easel. One more time. Okay. Dab. All right. Applying the brush to the paint. Oh, I have picked the wrong color. I will hold on. Let me just dip it back in the turpentine here. Okay. Dip, dip, dip. All right. Now apply the brush back to the easel. Okay. Here we go. Final stroke. Final stroke.
I think it'd be better if it's like, what's that sound in the distance? Oh, no, just the wind. Just the
a bird is chirping.